Royal Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Betty Davis in Broken Prelude, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. We welcome you to the 12th of the new series of Silver Theater Dramatic Productions. Next Sunday and the Sunday following, you will hear Ida Lupino and Conrad Nagel in David Garth's Red Book Magazine story, Challenge for Three. And in weeks to come, many more great stars and a score of thrilling and entertaining stories. And here is our director, Conrad Nagel, to tell you about today's play.
Today's Silver Theater presents the second and concluding episode of Broken Prelude, an original drama by True Boardman and Grover Jones, starring Betty Davis as Junior Connors, and Carlton Cadell as Paul Thomas, and Miss Davis' 15-year-old protege, Pamela Cavanis, as Nina Maloff. And now for our play. The lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain is rising on the first act of the concluding episode of Broken Prelude. 3 months have passed since Julia Connors was released from prison, and on that very day took young Nina Maloff away from the gambling club operated by her stepfather, Joe Renardo. They've been months filled with problems for Julia, for the girl Nina, and no less for Paul Thomas, young deputy district attorney in whose custody Julia is paroled. As our curtain rises, Julia and Paul are discussing the problem of Nina with Judge Ernest Gordon, chief jurist of our juvenile court.
I ask you here because I want you to understand my position in this case. I'm sure you both realize Nina Maloff is technically a ward of the court. While you, Miss Connors, well, to be frank...
To be frank, I've got a record. I'm a convict on parole, and you don't think I'm the proper person to care for Nina. That's it, isn't it?
Julia, Your Honor, there are other factors I don't think you consider. For one thing, the care Miss Connors has been taking of Nina these last 3 months. The things she has done to start the child on her career.
Paul.
Julia got a job 3 days after she was released as a sales girl in a music store. Because then she could take operatic records home at night for Nina to hear. And there was a matter of lessons.
Never mind, Paul. I can fight my own battles.
Judge Gordon, do you know who the child's teacher is? Martucci.
Martucci? But Miss Connors, how could you afford...
She can't. That's the point. Julia laid personal siege to Martucci's studio and practically browbeat him into accepting Nina as a pupil. And for about one-tenth his usual price.
I tell you, all this has nothing to do with it, Paul.
On the contrary, it may have a great deal to do with it. The fact that you've been making certain sacrifices for the child...
Sacrifice is nothing. Nina's mother was my cellmate for 2 years. The day I was leaving, Anna sent for me. She was dying. She begged me to look her kid up and see... Well, see that she was taken care of. And that's all I'm interested in.
But as I recall, this department has suggested 3 different couples as possible foster parents for Nina. And each time you found some objection to them.
But they weren't the right ones. Well, the kids got talent. Her mother thought she could be a great singer. And maybe she can. So if anybody's going to adopt her, it should be somebody who can help her.
I see. Then if this court proposed the girl's adoption by someone who could further the child's musical career, you'd be perfectly agreeable.
Sure, why not? Why should I want to keep her? I've got my own life to live.
But there's still the problem as to whether I can allow you to continue caring for Nina in the meantime.
Why not? She's doing all right.
Why not? Miss Connors, what was your profession before you went to prison?
I was entertainer in a cabaret.
So I understand. I also understand that working with you was a girl named Marcia Wallace.
So what about her?
Just this. Did you or did you not say before you left prison that you get revenge on Marcia Wallace because, as you put it, she framed you? Well, Miss Connors?
Yes, I said that.
Miss Connors, if I allow you to keep Nina for the present, have I your word that you will forego whatever action you intended against this Marcia Wallace?
I've got to be going.
Julia, wait. You haven't.
Nina's at home alone, and I've got to take her someplace at 5 o'clock. It's important. I can't wait here. Goodbye.
Julia. Your Honor, I'm sorry. But it's as I told you, Julia.
I'm sorry too, Thomas. I know how you feel about Miss Connors, and I wanted to try to help you. But under the circumstances, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take definite action.
Here's the theater, miss. We made it 2 minutes to five.
Fine. Come on, Nina. Here, driver.
Thanks.
We're going here, Nina.
But what is all this, Julia? Why are you so excited? Why don't you tell me?
Nina, inside there waiting for us, or rather for you, is a man named Charles Renison.
Renison?
Yes. The manager of the San Marco Opera Company. For 6 weeks I've been hounding him to give you an audition. And you're getting it. Today.
Julia!
Now, don't Julia me! Come on!
Yes, miss. Well, you're looking...
We had an appointment with... Oh... Mr. Renison, I hope we're not late.
Oh, not at all. Boris, hold it a moment, will you?
This is Nina Mallow. Nina, Mr. Renison.
How do you do?
Hello, Miss Mallow. What would you like to sing?
Anything you say.
Well, that covers a pretty broad field. The orchestra's been rehearsing some of the music for La Traviata. You know anything from that?
How about Jaco St. Louis?
You sure you want to try that?
I'd like it too.
All right. Boris!
Yes, Mr. Renison?
Boris, the young lady's going to... Miss Mallow. Mr. Boris Colvin.
How do you do?
It's a good honor, Miss Mallow. I was a friend of your mother.
I'm glad.
Miss Mallow's going to sing the Alphonse Louis.
Oh, good. Splendid. Now, come along, miss.
Yes, and we'll listen from out front. Coming, Miss Collins?
For just a minute, please. Nina.
Yeah?
Good luck, darling. Not afraid.
Yes, I can't be, can I? This has got to be good for both our sakes.
You're right. Now go on up there and see.
Julia?
Yes?
Kiss me for luck, will you?
Why? Sure, Nina.
Thanks.
Now beat it.
All right, Julia. I'm ready, Mr. Coleman.
All right.
Okay, I'm off. Your daughter's got her chance. Now maybe you better start up here. Oh, it's got to be good. Got to be good.
Fine, Nina. Excellent. All right, Miss Connors, I'm sold. Come back in the morning. We'll talk it over.
Oh, thank you.
You'll find him there on the stage, Mrs. Anderson.
Great to see you. Charles. Charles, darling, did you forget we had an appointment?
Oh, I'm glad you're here, my dear. Nina Mallows, Miss Connors, I'd like to have you meet my wife.
Your wife? How do you... Julia. Marsha Walsh.
And so ends Act One of Broken Prelude, starring Betty Davis. Before we continue with the second act, here's a man with a Christmas thought. John Conte.
By this time next week, the suspense will be all over. You'll know exactly what was in even the most curious-shaped Christmas package. And many of you, I hope, will find this Christmas a particularly happy one, because it brings you the gleaming loveliness of 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate. Silver Plate in the glamorous pattern First Love. For this is the new and sensational pattern that brings to Silver Plate for the first time the miracle of sterling silver craftsmanship. Craftsmanship which etches the rich floral ornament more deeply, raises it higher, gives it beauty and elegance undreamed of before. Craftsmanship possible only to a house rooted in tradition. A house of 91 years supremacy in silver plate design. The famous house of 1847 Rogers Brothers. This Christmas, 1847 Rogers Brothers offer their glorious silver plate at special savings. The Silver Theater set, a beautiful 62-piece service in a stunning rosewood finished cabinet, costs only $59.75, a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. It comes not only in the First Love pattern, but in other attractive 1847 Rogers Brothers patterns also. Visit your silverware dealer tomorrow. Find out what easy, convenient payment terms can be arranged, and make your Christmas a silver Christmas with America's finest silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Once again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain is rising on the final act of Broken Prelude. Several weeks have passed. Nina is under contract to Marshall Wallace's husband, Charles Renison. And after long and arduous rehearsal, the night of Nina's debut has come at last. Then on the following morning, there's cause for celebration as over the breakfast table, Julia and Nina read reviews of the performance.
Beautiful and flawless voice brought a freshness and vitality to the character, gave primary importance to this usually minor role. There is little doubt but that the young newcomer is assured a brilliant future. Well, there you are. That's all of them. Oh, Julia, are you swell? Swell? They're a bunch of lies, and you know it. Drink your milk.
A bunch of lies?
Nina Mallow's flawless voice. Humbug. You were flat 6 times in the second act.
Julia, I wasn't.
Well, once anyway, I think.
I know what you mean, Julia. You're afraid maybe I'll... Well, that those things in the paper will make a difference. They won't, Julia. Honest. I know that part of those things are just... Well, just because I'm a kid.
Well, if you realize that, maybe there's some hope for you. Pass the toast.
Julia, I just thought of something. Now you can quit your store job, you know? I need you with me at the theater, You know, be sure I look all right. Check on my singing.
No. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a typical stage mother. When it comes to a career, I always say a mother's place is...
Mother. Julia, did you know what you said?
Well, suppose I did. Maybe it's not such a bad idea.
Oh, Julia, I'm so happy. I didn't think I could be so happy.
Come to think of it, neither did I. Hey, come on now. You get on your practicing.
I'll go. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Nina.
Paul, have you seen the reviews?
Yes, Julia.
Oh, and thank you for the flowers.
What did you try to do, buy at a flower store? I thought Nina was going to... What's wrong?
Well, Nina, you better go in the other room.
Paul. But what is it? I want to know.
Go on, Nina. You don't need to say anything. Your friend Judge Gordon is going to take her away from me.
Yes, Julia.
Oh, he would wait for a time like this.
If you remember, you told him you wanted to be rid of her. You also said that you'd make no objection to Nina's being adopted, provided the right family wanted it.
Oh, but her career.
In this case, if anything, her career would be helped.
Oh, well, I guess that's that then. If it means a good home for her and all the other things she needs, well, that's swell.
That's all I was worried about.
Down in your heart, you want that girl, Julia. You can fight to keep her.
Maybe I've fought too long. Maybe I'm tired of it.
All right, Julia. But there's one thing I think you ought to know. The people that want to adopt Nina are Charles and Marcia Renison.
Marcia?
Yes, Julia.
Marcia wants to adopt Nina. Marcia taking that kid away from me now. Oh, wonderful. And I'll bet you think she's going to get away with it.
Julia, then you will fight it. You won't let them take her.
By Jones, you've never even seen me stop Paul Thomas. There's nothing I wouldn't do to stop Marcia Wallace from getting that child. Nothing, do you understand?
We'll take it to court, and I'll back you, Julia. I'll back you.
Court? Oh, no, no, we won't take it to court. Because I'll settle this before it ever gets to court. It's a long time before. And I'm starting now. I admit it, Your Honor. I did go to Marcia Renison's house. I did mean to harm her. If that was necessary to keep her from taking Nina. That's what their lawyer has been trying to prove to you in this hearing, Your Honor. Then it can save his breath, I admit.
Well, that's very considerate of Miss Connors. May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Morrow.
I submit, Your Honor, that this action Miss Connors has just confessed, considered by the sight of her previous record as a convicted felon, shows her unfit to be guaranteed permanent custody of the child Nina Mallow. While on the other hand, the fitness of my clients, Mr. and Mrs. Renison, is self-evident. I believe that's all that need be said.
Mr. Renison, Your Honor, you are fully aware of the responsibility that this adoption entails.
Fully, Your Honor.
And you, Mrs. Renison?
Your Honor, I haven't had a chance to see much of Nina, but even from the little I have seen of her, I'm genuinely fond of the child. You have my word that... but I'd like to do my best to take her mother's place.
Take her mother's place.
Miss Connors, please. Mrs. Renison.
That's all, Your Honor. Except that I can't understand Julia feeling the way she does.
Now, Mr. Thomas.
Your Honor.
I think it would be well if you would bring in the child herself.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, Nina.
Yes, sir?
You'll come in now. Come in, Nina. Come in and sit down.
Yes, sir.
Nina, you probably know the purpose of this hearing.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Thomas.
Now, Nina, don't be frightened and just answer the questions we ask you. First of all, do you feel that Julia has taken good care of you? I mean, have you been comfortable and well fed?
You know I'm here, Paul.
But in this case, the judge wants to know. Now about your music. Did Julia make you practice regularly?
2 hours a day and 3 on Saturday.
She was strict?
I'll say she was. She said I couldn't stay with her if I didn't work.
All right, Your Honor.
Mr. Marlowe, have you any questions to ask the child?
Thank you, Your Honor. Nina, you say Miss Connors took such good care of you. What kind of hours did you keep? I mean, what time did you usually go to bed?
Oh, about 11, sometimes 12.
You stayed up till 12 o'clock regularly.
I said 11 or 12. Besides, it was only because she brought records home for me to hear and she had to take them back the next day.
Nina, did you ever hear Miss Connors mention the name of Marcia Wallace?
Paul, do I have to answer that?
Yes, Nina.
Well, yes.
What did she say about Marcia Wallace?
That she had framed her, and when she got rid of me, she was going to get even, but she didn't mean that. I know she didn't.
One more question, Nina. Did either Miss Connors or Mr. Thomas prompt you what to say at this hearing?
Yes, they both did.
Oh, they prompted you. And what did they tell you to say, Nina?
They told me to tell the truth.
Is that all, Mr. Morrow?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, Nina, I have to ask your opinion about something very important.
I know what you're going to ask me, and I can tell you the answer now, Judge. I want to stay with Julia. Please, Judge. You don't understand about things. Julia needs me, and I guess I need her, but Mr. Renison's all right in his life, too, but thinking about somebody else. I belong to Julia. Don't you see?
That's what we're here to decide, Nina. You'd better go out again for a few minutes.
Julia, do I have to?
Go on, Nina.
Okay.
And now, Miss Connors, Mr. and Mrs. Renison have each spoken in their own behalf. It's only fair that you should have the same privilege. Well?
I have nothing to say.
Julia.
What's the use? It's all decided. It was decided before it started. It was decided 3 years ago when a jury of 12 infallible men and women said that Julia Connors was guilty as charged. I'm not a fit person to take care of me. I'm a convict. This court says so. And there's not the slightest chance in the world that this court could be wrong.
Julia.
All right, take the kid. Take her and see if I care. But I don't, you understand? I don't care. I'm glad she's out of my way.
Julia. Yolanda, she doesn't know what she's saying. Give me 1 minute, please. I'll bring her back. Julia.
I'm getting out of here.
And I say you're not.
Julia, what is it? What's happened?
Julia, listen to me. Listen.
Let go of me.
Oh, you're hurting her.
Go on, Becky. Listen to Marcia's speeches. They're much prettier than I can make and funnier.
Julia, you're a fool. Do you understand that? A blind, stubborn, childish fool. I've been fighting with you through all of this. But now, if I have to, I'm fighting against you.
Paul.
It's a fight for more than keeping Nina. It's a fight for you yourself, Julia. And for our love. You're going back in there.
I won't.
I'm not asking you. You're going back in that courtroom. You're going to stop being blinded by your hatred for Marcia Wallace and tell the truth. You're going to let Judge Gordon see the Julia Connors that is deserving of being Nina's mother. The Julia Connors that I knew and fell in love with before all of this happened. You're going to break through this wall you built around yourself. And let Judge Gordon know the things that even you won't admit are in your heart. It's the one chance, Julia. The only chance.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can, Paul. You see, there's so many things between.
You've got to try, Julia. And you're going to.
Julia, please do it. Bossy, please.
Well, Julia?
All right.
You better wait here, Nina.
I will.
Your Honor, Miss Connors is ready now.
Ready, well.
Judge Gordon, I'm sorry for a minute ago. What I said was a lie. I do want Nina. Paula just told me that my only chance of this hearing is to tell you the absolute truth. All right. Then, first of all, I was innocent of the crime I went to prison for. Marcia, in your heart you know that's true. She does, Your Honor. But she won't tell you so. And you won't believe me either. Oh, but you can believe this. I love that child, and I need her. You see, Your Honor, during the 3 years of my sentence, there was something that died inside me. And Nina Malice brought it to life again. I don't know any clearer way to tell you than that. A long time ago, I gave up asking for things and started fighting. I'm not fighting now. I'm begging you to let me keep Nina Malice.
Thank you, Miss Connors. All of the parties concerned having been heard, it is the duty of this court to make its decision. I want you to realize that I have tried to be influenced neither by emotion nor by personal feeling. But I have considered only the ultimate welfare of the child. Therefore, it is the decision of this court that permanent custody of Nina Marlowe be granted to Charles and Marcia Renison.
Julia. Thank you, Your Honor.
Charles, let's get out of here.
Marcia.
I tell you, I can't stand it. Take me out of here.
Thomas, Miss Connors, I'm sorry. With a prison record, there was nothing else I could do. I'm sorry.
Julia. Julia, you mustn't take it like this. This...
You please go. Just leave me alone.
But Julia, my darling...
I just want to be left alone.
Julia, you win. I win. As long as you fought me, hated me, I could do it. But not now. I can't. Not any longer.
Marcia, my dear. You...
Charles, you both taught me. Julia, for 3 years I've lived in a kind of hell. Because I let you go to prison for a crime that I committed. I was afraid. And so I lied. But I'm telling the truth now. To the judge, to everyone if necessary. You'll have Nina. You deserve it. You're going to have her? I'm not sure what they'll do to me. I don't even care. At least I'll know some kind of peace again.
Marsha, that's all. I'm going now. Marsha.
Yes?
Maybe it won't be necessary to tell too many people. You see, whatever crime there was 3 years ago, well, I think it's already been pretty well paid for. Oh, Julia.
Come, Marsha, my dear.
Julia, then it's all right. Everything, I mean. I can stay with you.
Yes, Nina. Everything's all right.
Hey, you're crying. But why should you cry now?
Nonsense, I'm laughing. Oh, Nina.
Oh, pardon me, you two, but remember me?
Paul.
Or should I go, too?
Go?
Well, at a moment like this, I hesitate to intrude on the family.
But you're a part of the family, Paul.
Why, Nina.
Julia.
Well, this seems to be the day for truth coming out, doesn't it?
Oh, Julia.
Paul, darling.
Hey, remember me?
In just a few seconds, Betty Davis will come back to greet you in person. First, we'd like to remind you that while there are only 6 more shopping days before Christmas, there is something you can do about it. If you will, please, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's still time to give your wife or mother or sweetheart the grandest Christmas gift of her life. Lustrous solid silver by International Sterling. Your silverware dealer has services in many sizes and a wide variety of exquisite patterns, which can be yours on easy, convenient payment terms. If the one you're giving to already owns International Sterling Silver, find out the name of her pattern and make your Christmas gift extra salad forks or other pieces in the matching pattern. Or remember, any woman can be a more gracious and charming hostess if her silverware is beautiful and adequate. But perhaps you'd like to start a sterling service for someone instead. You can very easily indeed by giving one of International Sterling's lovely Me to You sets. This is a place setting for one person, created in the rich loveliness of the Enchantress pattern, and costs only $16.75. $16.75. Visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, and on that day of days, watch her face when she opens your package. When she sees the proud mark of International Sterling on every lovely piece. When she realizes that here is solid silver through and through. Silver that will gleam as gloriously a full generation from now as it does this Christmas morning. International Sterling Silver. And now we return to Conrad Nagel, who is coming to the center of our silver stage with Betty Davis, star of Our Play Tonight, and of the forthcoming Warner Brothers production, Dark Victory.
Thank you very much.
Betty, if I ever write my memoirs, I'll have 2 stories to tell. The first will be about a time, 6 years or so ago, when a young unknown actress named Betty Davis made her first screen appearance in a picture of mine. And the other will be about this program when a very young lady named Pamela Cavanagh started on what I'm certain will be another remarkable career.
Oh, thank you, Conrad, for both Pam and me. And I'd like to thank Carlton Cadell for being such a patient Paul to such an impatient Julia.
Thank you, Betty. It's been grand working with you.
Well, you're certainly an industrious girl these days, Betty, making pictures like Dark Victory, appearing on radio shows like ours, and coaching Pam.
Yes, and right now I'm taking over another job, yours.
Huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, next week on Silver Theater, Mr. Conrad Nagel will star with Ida Lupino in Challenge for 3.
It's my turn to say thank you. And thanks a lot for being with us these past 2 weeks, Betty, and come again.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah, you bet we do, Pam. We'll remember you for a delightful performance and some lovely songs.
I'd like to thank you and Betty for giving me a chance to sing. Good night.
Good night, Pam.
Good night, Pam. Good night. Good night.
Remember, if you want solid silver, you want International Sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. All the characters and events in today's drama were purely fictional. John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.